Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning. That's a song for Zoo Lights, if I ever did hear one. My name is Steve Dale. You know me from the pet show I've been doing on this radio station for many, 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 many years. And I will tell you, I am so excited when and thank you, WGN, when I have the opportunity to do just fill-in radio. And you are about to hear, I have what I think is a great show planned for you. At the very start, I don't want to bury the lead, as they say. This is the most exciting news ever, friends. Are you ready? I have not one, not two, but three butterball turkeys to give away. Only on this radio show. I'm so excited about this. A $25 gift certificate, a gift check towards your butterball purchase. And you can apparently get this at any grocery store that carries butterball turkeys. We will do the first giveaway in a bit with David Fry. Now, you may not know his name, but I can assure you, you know his voice, because he has been, for more years than he wants me to say, broadcasting the National Dog Show presented by Purina. He does that with John O'Hurley. I had John on my Sunday show a couple of weeks ago, and we'll be talking to my old friend David Fry. David does not know this, but we're going to have him participate in giving away one of those turkeys. Of course, Black Friday is coming up. I'll talk about that and talk about how you can save money, hopefully a lot of money, over Black Friday, and some things that I didn't know. So here's something. Jewelry. Makes sense, right? That'll be one of the big items for Black Friday this year. And in fact, jewelry will offer the most value to consumers. But here's, I want to verify this with our special guest, but according to what I see here, over 12% of items at major retailers will be more expensive. So watch it. On Black Friday than their current Amazon.com prices. So that's not cool, if that is indeed true. So we're going to find out if that is true, and if that's true, how you learn about that, how you find out about it as well. And we will talk with, I did not go to broadcasting school. And maybe you can tell, I don't know. But I've been broadcasting my entire life. And since high school. And this is maybe only the third or fourth or fifth time I've done what I'm about to tell you, where I've had a special guest on from the Butterball Turkey Hotline. Because in radio, when you go to broadcasting school, you learn right before Thanksgiving, you have to interview someone from the Butterball Hotline. It's like it's mandatory in radio. And we will do that, as well as giving away those turkeys, not the way they did on WKRP in Cincinnati. Remember that? Do you remember that episode? Oh, my gosh. That is, Dave Plyer talks about it all the time. It's one of the most iconic episodes. So that show is only on, a couple of seasons on television? It really didn't have great ratings, but in reruns, people love it. And that is one of those episodes. Even though it wasn't a classic TV show, it was a classic episode. And that scene of the turkeys dropping, and I didn't know turkeys didn't fly.
As God is my witness.
Yes.
I thought turkeys could fly.
That's it.
It was just on the other night.
Was it
the
really?
Other day. I don't know. I was like dinner time, and we were watching it. And I was just cracking up with Les Nessman.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, so turkeys do fly, by the way. They don't fly very well, but they do fly. Now, if we were to drop turkeys out of an airplane, I'm not sure how they would do. But dropping from a tree, they would make it to the ground. They would glide enough and fly enough. In fact, I have an expert in the studio. I don't know if your expertise is generally turkeys. He is from the Lincoln Park Zoo, Dave Bernier, General Curator. I am excited to have you on. And before we talk about the zoo, I want to ask you about turkeys on the spot.
Do you know?
Am I right about that? Did turkeys fly, but just aren't very good at it?
Oh yeah, especially the wild turkeys. If you see them out, they can get a little bit of altitude. They get a kind of a running start, and they can fly a pretty good distance. I don't think they're good at the vertical drop.
Right.
So to speak.
Right. I don't know how they would do. Yeah. So dropping as God is my witness, as Steve just said, from an airplane, I'm not sure how they would do, but they can fly. They could fly. 312-981-7200 if you want to partake to talk about the Lincoln Park Zoo. I'm so excited to have you here. You know, it was some number of years ago, I don't want to tell you how many years ago, that Dr. Lester Fisher, who's still alive, you know, a legendary Chicagoan, I grew up watching him on TV talking about the zoo, called me into his office, and Barb, I don't remember her last name, from the Zoo Society, the other side
Barb
was there.
Barb Carr.
Yeah, yes, and said, we need to honor you, Steve, myself, for writing all the stories I did. And they made me a lifetime member of the zoo. And I will tell you, it's one of the greatest things that ever did happen, because one of the greatest things that ever did happen to Chicago, which began a very long time ago, was the Lincoln Park Zoo. It either is the oldest or second oldest zoo, I believe, in America, depending on who you ask.
It's contested, but yeah.
Philadelphia would be the other zoo, right?
Right, started before us.
Yeah, so it depends. One society began first, and one zoo opened first. I don't remember which was which. In either which case, the Lincoln Park Zoo has been around for a very, very long time, and lots of things have changed. One thing has not changed. It's absolutely free.
It's absolutely free. Has been since 1868.
Now, you've had a lot of babies, not you personally, but the zoo has. Do I give you cigars, by the way? I'm not sure what's appropriate for that.
No, probably something more like some kind of produce or kind of like a fruit arrangement would be good.
Okay. So we will do that. I want to hear about the zoo babies. And also, we'll talk about zoo lights, answer your zoo questions, which you have some, as well as lots of text here about turkeys. And we'll get to all that. It's 10:15. Good morning. Lots of text, and our expert from the zoo agrees domestic turkeys don't fly very well at all, but they can do a little bit depending on the individual turkey. With the popularity of e-cigarettes and vaping products on the rise, especially with teenagers, there have been 1,300 reported cases of lung illness and 31 known vaping illness deaths in the United States, allegedly related to the use of vaping products and e-cigarettes. The risks are real, and the consequences can be deadly. Symptoms include coughing, shortness of breath, chest pain, fatigue, fever, nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, and abdominal pain. Anyone suffering from these symptoms after using e-cigarettes or other vaping products should seek medical attention immediately and tell your doctor what type of vaping products you're using. If you have suffered a serious illness after using e-cigarettes or vaping products, contact GWC Injury Lawyers today. The personal injury attorneys can help you obtain full and fair financial compensation for your injuries. With more than $2 billion recovered for their clients for more than 40 years in business, GWC has a proven record of success in getting their clients the justice they deserve. Schedule a meeting at a no cost, no obligation consultation with a GWC injury lawyer. Call 312-999-9999, 312-9999. It is 10:17 on WGN. It's an annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News, Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, and Sarah Gindrow for Chicago's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Thanksgiving morning starting at 8 a.m. on WGN Television, my favorite station to watch. In fact, Friday, I am also filling in from noon to 2:30, and in fact, we will have from WGN-TV on the show, among other guests, including the owner of the Chicago Blackhawks will be here. But in addition, we are going to be talking to him from WGN Television about his favorite stories of the year. John Cass will report on his political stories of the year as well. Right now in the studio is Dave Bernier, a lead curator at the Lincoln Park Zoo. Babies, babies everywhere. So tell me about the babies.
We had a fantastic spring. It started in spring and went through the summer. To start off, on Mother's Day of all the days, we had a gorilla born. His name is Mondika, and his mother's Bana, who's one of my favorite gorillas, some animal I've worked with for many years. About a week after that, we had a baby rhino born, an eastern black rhino, a critically endangered species.
Well, gorillas aren't doing so great either. So,
they're critically endangered as well.
Yeah. So can we see either of these babies if we went to Zoo Lights, which we'll talk about in a moment?
Yeah, absolutely. The Regenstein Center for African Apes, the building that they're housed in, will be open. And it is nighttime for them, so they'll be under some low-light conditions. But both babies, Mundika and JK, are there with their moms, Bana and Raleigh. And they'll be visible. Sure. So you can visit them, taking a break from the lights, getting in from the cold.
What do you think it is? I mean, watching, and we'll talk about rhinoceros in a second, but watching a rhinoceros, watching a giraffe, watching a zebra is interesting. It's something people like to do. Watching a great ape, you have chimpanzees and you have eastern yes. lowland gorillas, are somehow, to me, a bit different.
We have Western lowland gorillas.
Sorry.
There are these eastern, but yeah, there is. I've worked with them for many years, and it's still, even as, because I don't work with them directly now, I can get lost in that building once I start watching them interact with each other. They're a very social species, and then especially in a family group situation where you've got different aged animals. We've got 2 6-year-old females in that group. We've got the 2 newborn males. We've got 4 adult females in the silverback. So there's a lot going on in there. And if you take time to watch, you'll see a lot of behavior happening that is normal play behavior. You might even see a little bit of discipline from Quan, who's the silverback, just kind of settling things down if things get a little out of control. So there's a lot to watch, and it's really enjoyable.
It's, to me, like a bit like looking in the mirror, you know, when you look at great apes, because after all, that's all we are, you know, is another great ape. Can I tell you something that I do and you won't get me in trouble?
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Well, we'll see.
he's not necessarily saying, yeah, go ahead and tell me. Here it goes. I take out my camera, my phone, and without a flash, I will sometimes video a gorilla and then play it back to the gorilla. And sometimes, the gorillas actually watch the videos.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I've seen that as well. We've seen them react. Well, they certainly can identify themselves in a mirror. Like, they have awareness of self, so they know if it's them or someone else on the video. We try not to encourage too much of that, only because it is very distracting for them. So what we want, even though they're...
I knew he'd get me in trouble. He's busting me.
I am. I'm like kind of the police here. So even though they're at the zoo and we want people to view them, and we build our exhibit specifically to get really close contact with our apes in order to get, you know, engender some empathy and really connect with them, it is distracting. And what we want them to do is focus on themselves and not so much focus on the people that are there. So it is enriching to a point, because they do interact with those things. But we provide them non-breakable mirrors for the same purpose, so that they can kind of see each other and see themselves in the mirrors. So no, I'm not surprised that they enjoy it.
Yeah, depending on the mood of that individual, and also whether they could see it through the glare of the glass where you happen to be, I suppose, as well. So more babies.
Yeah, so then we had a second gorilla born a month later. So we've got 2 male gorillas in the at the Regenstein Center for African Apes, and they're both doing great. The black rhino, Romeo, is he was born about 60 pounds. He was born in May, and now he's just a little over 600 pounds. So he's growing extremely fast. And when you come to the zoo, even though they're an African animal, we have temperature guidelines. And if it's a warmer day with the sun out, and even if it snows, we'll let the rhinos go outside and have a little time in their exhibits. So you never know what you're going to see in the winter at Lincoln Park Zoo.
Mm-hmm. But you do know this. If you go just about any night between now and some early day in January, it's called Zoo Lights.
Yes.
Tell me what that's about.
Zoo Lights is a fantastic, family-friendly event. It's been running now for 25 years at the zoo. It's free. It's not every night, so you have to check our website for the details on the nights. But it is an unbelievable event where the entire zoo is lit up with lights. Our trees are lit up. We've got light displays. We also have food and entertainment. We've got strolling carolers this year again. About 2.5 million lights in the place.
What?
The entire zoo is open.
2.5 million lights.
Yeah.
I mean, and it is beautiful. Some of the lights are in shapes of animals. Some
Absolutely.
Are just on trees. I mean, it's just, you could see it even from Lakeshore Drive going by.
Yeah, it's beautiful to see. And then when you come into our east gate, you'll see it's kind of a surprise. We've got, the entryway has been done a little bit differently this year. So you really need to see that.
All right. So once again, it costs you a lot of money to go to Zoo Lights. How much is it?
Yeah, it's exactly $0 to go to Zoo
Lights. It's free. Yes. So I think it's one of the greatest events in Chicago. There is so much that you can do at the zoo in the evening, and it is truly with the carolers that you mentioned and the food, including some adult beverages, if you'd like. It's absolutely free, which is the favorite thing every day about the Lincoln Park Zoo. We'll have you back sometime that I fill in, because believe it or not, this is how fast time goes by. We're out of time. So I thank you very, very much for coming by.
We'll be happy to come back anytime.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Truly, the Lincoln Park Zoo is one of my favorite places to go. And I was telling you off the air, for my birthday every year, that is where I head, to the Lincoln Park Zoo. One of my favorite things to watch on television is a dog show, the National Dog Show, presented by Purina. It's been on Thanksgiving Day for, I don't know, we'll find out how many years, but like 12 or 13 years, something like that. And if there is a dog show on TV that is worth watching, David Fry is the guy you need to hear. And he's the guy who does the show. So in, what was the movie called that they poked fun at dog
Best
shows?
Best in Show.
Thank you. Yeah, that's David Fry. That's the guy we're going to have on right here. And he was once on the show called Sex in the City. And he said that was his favorite moment of all time, ever. We'll have him right here, David Fry. So David Fry does not know this, but in fact, while he is talking to me, we're going to figure out a way, and he's going to help do this, even though, as I said, he has no clue, as to how we're going to give away the first of our three Butterball turkeys to give away. If you have questions about dogs and dog shows, 312-981-7200. And while you're in the studio here, I mean, you still happen to be here, so let me ask you a question. Several text questions have come in, and one of those questions is Dave Bernier of the Lincoln Park Zoo about gorillas. So it says here, I remember Samson. That goes back
a long way.
Yeah, I don't know if this person really personally remembers Samson or not, because that does go back a long way. So there was Samson, there was...
Well, it was Bushman was our first.
Bushman, Samson, Otto was the next. There's always been this like one big male gorilla who's been famous at the zoo, right?
Yeah, it was Sinbad, not Samson, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was Bushman, then Sinbad, then Otto were our three major silverbacks that we had.
I can say I knew Otto personally. Otto, because that's the other thing about working with the great apes. I believe working with most of the animals, if you're there all the time, they actually do get to know you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's one gorilla in particular, Raleigh, a female I work with, can spot me in a crowd of people. She can pick me out. She comes and makes me feel very special. She will come down and when I go through the building. So, yeah, there's a connection there with some of these animals. Of course, there's a few great apes that I work with that didn't want to have anything to do with me at all. So it runs the gamut.
Yeah, they've sent me the emails and they asked me not to have you on. So once again, thank you very much for coming on. I do appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just around the corner, of course, is what we call, what is it called? Black Friday. And we're going to have an expert offer us tips about all that. And if you're not very adept at cooking that Thanksgiving Day turkey, I know I'm not. I know nothing about cooking turkeys. So we're going to learn about it. But moreover, what goes well? Okay, we know cranberries, we know stuffing. But first off, my wife has this task right now, Robin. What kind of stuffing? So how do you please, I mean, do you add cranberries to the stuffing? Do you add apples to the stuffing? Pecans to the stuffing? But you can't do that if someone has peanut allergies. I mean, lots of decisions to make. More than you might think when it comes to stuffing that bird. All of that with a Butterball turkey expert coming up, as well as our, yes, of course, on this show, a show that I host, you know, a turkey hosts the show. A turkey's going to give away turkeys, and I will. He is Mr. Dog Show. That's right. David Fry is here, I think. We'll find out. Hello, David. David Fry. Hello.
I'm right here.
There you are.
Hey.
Are you sure?
Over here. Underneath the dog.
Over there. National Dog Show presented by Purina. How many years have you been broadcasting this now?
Every one of their 18 years. So we started in 2002. This will be our 18th. Unbelievable.
That is quite incredible. And This happens at 12 noon. It's on NBC. It's on Thanksgiving Day. It's always been on Thanksgiving Day. So when you first took the gig, Mr. Dog Show broadcaster, did you expect that 18 years later you'd still be broadcasting and it would become a huge ratings hit?
Well, it was sort of like when I started doing the Westminster. I said, well, this will be fun for a few years, and it ends up lasting forever almost. We're at 18 here, and I've got great friends and family. They're all the same way. John O'Hurley has been with me every year of the way, and so is Mary Carrillo. So we're having a great time with it, and why not?
Well, 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. And we are talking, of course, with Mr. Dog Show himself, David Fry. If you have questions about dog shows, he is the guy who knows everything. And before we're done with David, he's going to tell us who's going to win the show, right? Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
Maybe not. But he will tell us what happens during a dog show. So let's do some Dog Show 101 at the National Dog Show, which is held in Philadelphia. All these dogs come from all over the country, dogs of a variety of breeds, just about every breed that there is. From the American Kennel Club, they arrive. They all then are judged individually. All the Labradors are judged against Labradors. All the Scotty Terriers are judged against Scottish Terriers, etc. Have I got it right?
You do. You've been paying attention to all your lessons here I've been giving you.
Yes.
So, good job.
All right. But it doesn't stop there. So then eventually a dog wins and is named the best Labrador or best Scottish Terrier. Then what happens from there?
Then they move to the second level, which is the group. So the Labrador, the best Labrador, competes against all the other best of breed in the other sporting breeds, like the Golden and the Cocker and the Setters and all of those dogs. And the same thing, the Scottish Terrier moves into the Terrier group against the other Terriers. And as we have seven different groups, that's the second level. They pick a best, a winner of the group, of each group. Those seven group winners, then the sporting, hound, working, terrier, toy, non-sporting, and herding groups, those seven group winners come together at the end, and one of them wins Best in Show.
And so you've got these seven dogs at the end. I'm repeating some of what you say here for a reason. So you have these seven dogs at the end. They are the ones you see participating in the Best in Show. And each of those seven represent one of the seven groups, which include terriers and non-sporting dogs and sporting dogs and toy breeds and herding breeds and working breeds. And I think I'm forgetting one. I don't know that I rattled off seven there.
I didn't count them all.
One's miscellaneous. One's non-sporting. Seven. Non-sporting, right? I think that's... All right. So you've got... And then the judge judges Dalmatians against... Let's say there's a Dalmatian there representing the non-sporting group. And let's say there's a Great Pyrenees representing the working group. And let's say there's... a golden retriever representing the sporting group. How does a judge compare, and on for all seven, how does a judge compare?
Listen to you.
What?
I said, listen to you. You're great. You're right on everything. Why do you need me?
Who doesn't need you? So.
Well, yeah, that's true. I need the job. I need the work.
And I need you. So.
Okay.
And actually, So I was watching the Today Show this morning, and I want to ask you about a segment that I saw that I know will be near and dear to David Fry's heart about what dogs can do for children in hospital settings. But I'll talk about that in a second. So we're trying to get through this here. So we've got these seven dogs. So how does the judge determine which of those seven very different looking dogs? How does the judge decide who is best in show?
Well, you can't really compare a golden retriever to a Dalmatian or in the hound group, an Irish wolfhound to the dachshund. They're both in the hound group. But you have to compare. Each breed has a written standard that describes the ideal specimen of that breed. And that's based really on what they were bred to do, how they should be built, form the function for performing their job. And the judge has to compare each dog to its standard. How close does it come to being the ideal specimen of its breed? And in theory, whichever dog best represents that standard is going to be the dog that should be your winner. So it goes on through all of that. But again, think about form to function. A judge in the ring doesn't always get a chance to see, and will never get the chance to see, an Afghan hound running through an open field chasing down its prey. It will. They have to imagine that in their mind as they're thinking about the standard and thinking and seeing this dog in front of them. So it takes some. It takes some beyond the ring knowledge of what goes on with these dogs.
All right. So we've got lots of text questions here, and I thank you for the questions. And I'll try to get to as many as I can for Mr. Fry. So you kind of answered this. Are the groups based on biology or function?
Function, pretty much. If it was biology and physiology, you know, you'd have all the little dogs in one group. But it's basically on function. Sporting, all the sporting dogs are there. Dogs that assist the hunters. The hounds are also really kind of hunting dogs themselves. They do the hunting more than help the hunter. And they originally, actually, hounds were part of the sporting group originally. I split them off from the sporting group back in the late 20s. But they're hunting dogs too. So, yeah, function is the whole thing for the groups.
Hmm. You remember that from the late 20s personally, huh? So how
I was there, I think. I feel like I was there.
I've known Mr. Fry for a very long time. So how do they decide which breeds to show on TV? They can't show them all. So what do they do? I don't often enough see the Parsons Russell Terrier or the Nova Scotia Duck Tolling Retriever.
Well, so we don't have enough time to say the name. we try to get the dogs on that have fun stories to tell, and we try to get the dogs on that maybe have not been on much in the past. We try and spread it around a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But you're right, we're a two-hour show with 196 different breeds and varieties represented. So we do a steady cam at the start of each group that goes down the line, so you'll get to see every one of those breeds very briefly, and then we'll cover the competition and pick some dogs that are fun and have good stories for the people watching, for the 25 million viewers watching at home.
Wow. Do you ever get nervous?
I don't think about that stuff anymore. It's just, and having John O'Hurley there as my partner helps relax and set the tone for what we're doing, and it's fun. It's like taking my buddy to a dog show.
Yeah,
and he's going to ask me questions that's based on things that he's wondering, and I want them to be the questions that the people at home are wondering as well. And it gives us the opportunity to talk about these dogs. Hey, what's the deal on that poodle haircut? You know, stuff like that. I know somebody sitting at home is saying, "What's the deal on that poodle haircut?" So if John voices that, and he's kind of gotten to the point now where he already knows the answer. So instead of asking the question, he'll tell it. He'll say what the deal is on that poodle haircut.
Well,
and
I think
hundreds of other questions that come up.
I think that's the magic of you two together. Let's quickly go to Dave. Say hello to Dave on WGN. Hi.
Good morning.
Oh, Dave.
Yes, I'm relatively new to the dog show world. I've been showing my dog now for about a year and a half. And my question is, or any advice you can hand out, is how can a novice owner handler compete with the professional handlers in the confirmation ring?
That's a good question.
You just have to be dedicated and work with your dog and have that kind of relationship with your dog where they know what you're thinking, you know what they're thinking, where you know what your dog's strong points are and are able to show those to the judge. I always say the best handlers are invisible. So if you're good with your dog and good at setting your dog up and moving them the right speed and the grooming and conditioning and training and all of those things like these professional handlers have been doing their whole lives, it can be done. There are great owner handlers in the dog show ring that have great success. You have to be good because the professional handlers are good as well. But it can be done, and there's a lot of great owner handlers through the years that have had great success. So
all right,
keep plugging away.
Yeah, that's actually a very good question. I want to talk a bit about when dogs go into hospitals and nursing homes and assisted living facilities, the difference dogs can make. And I know David Fry is all about that. We will talk about just that when we come back on WGN, and also a surprise responsibility on Dave Fry's shoulders that is going to help one of you win what I've been talking about. You guys know Dave Fry doesn't know what I'm talking about, and I like WGN Radio. Steve Dale here. And David Fry is on the phone. National Dog Show presented by Purina, presented by Dave Fry and John O'Hurley. They are the broadcasters and have been for 18 years for this great dog show. David Fry is famous in the dog show world. That's absolutely true. But I've been talking to you, Dave Fry, for so many years on the radio. We're friends, and I'm going to do it to you again. So last time, at around the same time, this was last year, I surprised you, and I had a friend of mine, I'm honored to say that, Doc Emmerich, call in and said, "Doc, I want you to broadcast like you're broadcasting a dog show in your head. Just make one up." And to you, I said, "Broadcast a hockey game," and you guys did it. Now I've got something else for you to do, David Fry. You've been in broadcasting for how many years, approximately?
Well, I've been doing dog shows for 30 years now.
All right. So a broadcaster of 30 years.
I'm concerned with where this is going, of course.
You ought to be.
Give your best shot.
You ought to be concerned. So have you ever before given away a turkey?
No, I don't know that I have.
Okay, you're about to. I know the answer to this. I know you know the answer to this. We talked about the seven groups that I think I rattled off earlier in the show. Let's see if I could do it, Mr. Fry. Sporting, non-sporting, terrier, toy, herding, working. What did I forget? A hound. So that's seven. Yeah. Those are the seven groups. Which of those groups do you think has won, or a representative of that group has won best in show most often? Don't give me the answer, David Fry. 312-981-7200. We're going to go through the calls because my poor producer doesn't know the answer. I didn't tell her. So I can write it down here for you, Maya, and that way you could see the answer. And the first person to get it right will receive a turkey, which is something that I know you've wanted to give away for your entire career. Sound good?
I've been called a turkey a few times, but and do we know the answer to this?
Yeah, you do. You better. I'll be very disappointed if you don't. So let's have a conversation about something else where the calls are coming in, of course. It's a turkey, a free butterball turkey. Of course the calls are coming in. And we'll wait until we get the first right answer. My producer, Maya, and also my producer, Cassara. You see, one producer can't handle me, so they have two wonderful people here producing the show. David Fry, I know you live for what dogs can do to make a difference for people. And very seriously, the Today Show had a segment on today, dogs doing animal-assisted activities, going in particularly to a children's hospital and making a difference in these lives that otherwise would not have happened if it wasn't for dogs. And I know this is something that you have been for many years involved with. Well, I didn't even touch the phone. He's gone. What the heck happened there? I guess my question shocked him. Actually, it's a very serious thing, and it's amazing what dogs can do and the difference that they make. And one of our two dogs actually is in a program called Rainbow in the Chicago area. And my wife Robin takes Hazel, one of our two dogs, to Lurie's. And she tells me, Lurie's Children's Hospital, and she tells me these stories that just like are incredible. It's like, how can you believe that this really can happen? But it really can happen. A wiggle of a tail and those canines can somehow break through in a very special way. Hey, David, are you back? Oh.
Yeah, it made me there choke you up and
yeah,
had pressure on me to give away a turkey.
Yeah, yeah.
I got all choked up and panicked.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but I'm glad you're here. Did you hear my question?
I did hear your question.
All right. So
I'm ready. Bring it on.
Okay, so tell me about the difference dogs can make and what your experiences have been.
Oh, well, they it's easy because anybody who has a dog knows that interacting with a dog makes you feel good. And anybody who ever spends any time with them knows when a dog walks into the room, the energy changes. And those are all things that we can put to good use with people who are in need, whether they're in a hospital or in some other kind of senior care or whatever. And we get people, it's something, sometimes it's just as simple as getting somebody to smile. Maybe I haven't had much to smile about for a while. I visited the Ronald McDonald House in New York City for all the years that we lived here. And the CEO of the Ronald McDonald House, a guy named Bill Sullivan, once said to me, you know, when a child is sick, the parents are sick. And when you get a child to smile, you're going to get the parents to smile, too. And sometimes that's all it takes. But there's a lot of other stuff. They'll talk. They'll think about something other than their challenges. We're even having great success in using them in PT and physical therapy and occupational therapy, where we can get a kid to do something that a physical therapist or a therapist has been trying to get them to do for a long time, and the dogs can motivate them to take a step or walk around the room or do things that they're doing for the dog. They're not doing it for the people. And the dogs are great at it. They're spontaneous. They're unconditional love, all of those things that non-judgmental, they can make it happen.
Do you think dogs that do this kind of work actually have some inkling that of what they're doing?
No, I think it's just in their nature. I say all the time that great therapy dogs are born, not made, and that our training process is aimed more at their human partner to make sure that they're giving the dog every chance to be successful by doing what it is they do. And that's just be there, accept your love, give some love back. And that's sometimes all it takes. They live their life in the moment, and that's appropriate because so many of the people that we visit are living their life in the moment. And I think that makes the dog a great partner for them in any kind of therapy situation.
You know, I often say this, as much as, you know, as smart as we are and as much as we understand dogs, in many ways, dogs intuitively, I believe, understand us better than we could ever understand them. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that, totally. I there's no question. We walk into a room with a therapy dog, and the great therapy dogs can know right away who the person in need most is in that room, and they'll walk right over to them. They'll say, I'm here for you. What do you need from me? Let's do it.
Yeah.
I've seen my dogs react in a situation where a couple of kids that were in high back wheelchairs, the tie my dog went over to visit because they were whistling at him to come over, and he comes over, and the kid whistles, and Ty cocks his head, and the kid whistles again. He's paralyzed. He's quadriplegic, and he whistles again, and Ty rolls over. Kid starts laughing. His brother, who's also in a wheelchair right there, starts laughing. His parents start laughing. The other kid, the brother, drops his hand down. He can move his hand. Ty runs over and high-fives him. Everybody's laughing and cheering and having a great time with it. And mom and dad are crying and because they're laughing too and smiling about it. And that's our dogs just understand what it is that they're there for. And that's to help make it a better world for all of us.
You know, so many times, and I've seen this actually myself, I'm sure you've seen it yourself, where even the medical staff is amazed. You know, this person can't do fill in the blank. And now the dog walks into the room, and now that person is either physically doing something that a medical expert say, well, that person hasn't been able to do it or hasn't wanted to do it, and now they're suddenly doing whatever it is. Have you had that experience?
Absolutely. Grace and I visited the VA hospital every Wednesday in our time here in New York City. And we had a TV crew following us around one time, and we came upon a room that I said, I don't think I've ever met this guy, visited this guy before. And the nurse says, oh, we can't go in there. He's almost 90. He's in the early stages of dementia. Whenever anybody walks in his room, he starts yelling, gets upset, and he speaks in gibberish. I said, So we went in there. Mm-hmm. I lifted Grace up to him. He puts his hands on either side of her face, softly, gently draws her down to him and starts talking to her and to me in gibberish. And I said, that's right. Her name is Grace. We come here every week. And he's smiling, and we're having a whole conversation back and forth, him and gibberish me with trying to make sense of it. And I look over at the nurse who brought us in there, and she's crying because she's never seen the guy do this before. And it's happened to me other places, too, where they say, don't expect this guy to react to you, this person to react to you, because they're in here. They think their family has dumped them in here to die, or these kids are on their last legs, and people think that there's nothing we can do to make them happy or smile. And we give them some more moments of clarity and lucidity and give them a chance to think about things other than what they're going through.
Well, well put. And it's amazing when you actually experience this firsthand. The National Dog Show, presented by Purina on Thanksgiving Day. No matter what time zone you're in, it is at 12 noon. And this is the guy whose voice you'll hear, David Fry. As always, it is good to talk to you.
Thank you. Did we give away a turkey?
We gave away a turkey. I'm not sure who to whom yet. To Tony!
Without me presiding?
Without you presiding. Who needs you? Without you presiding.
Don't say that too many times. I want to keep working for a while.
You will, my friend. You're the best at what you do. In fact, no one has ever done it better. Thank you so much, David Fry.
That's great, Steve. I love you, too, and I'm happy to be on with you anytime. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. I'll tell you, friends, I didn't want him to hear this. He is the nicest guy in the world. Joining us in just a little bit, the senior editor at CNET, Bridget Carey, will be here to talk about Black Friday. And you can read, no, you can't read. Coming up, The Stories That Matter with Steve Bertrand. Is that right? Really? Steve Bertrand? How exciting. From the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Tony from Shanahan, you are the winner of the turkey, as we described just a little bit earlier. Coming up, of course, it's that day that is very curious for a lot of us. You know, Black Friday, what's that all about? And do you really save money? That's what I want to know. And according to one report that I mentioned earlier in the show, you may not. You have to be really careful about what you're purchasing. So according to this report, you might do better any day, any time, like right now, before Black Friday, on Amazon.com, just by going to Amazon.com. Is that true? We're going to find out by talking to our expert. We're also going to learn some other benefits. There are some benefits, according to these reports, about shopping on Black Friday. Are they real benefits? Is this really true, or is it just hype? We're going to find out about that. Also, cooking a turkey. Now, we have two more turkeys to give away. Also, two more Butterball turkeys. You can get these turkeys at any grocery store that carries Butterball turkeys, which is a nice thing. It's actually $25 gift checks toward a Butterball turkey purchase, and it's no expiration on this. So if you say, I purchased my turkey already for Thanksgiving, but I'm really looking for something for Christmas, that's okay. You can use it for that. So that's a good thing. I've got to try to think of a way in which I can give away these turkeys, and I promise you that I will.
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it! Look!
I got beans, greens, potaes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, beans, greens, potaes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it!
Beans, greens, potaes, tomatoes.
I just want that to keep playing. I love that. Where did you guys find that? I think that's great. It is 6 minutes after 11, WGN Radio. My name is Steve Dale, and we will be talking with Butterball Hotline lady, Karen Wilcher. I want to know when she goes to like a cocktail party and she says, well, I answer the Butterball Hotline calls. And how do you get that job? What does her resume look like? We're going to find out in a moment. You know, earlier I said, and we're giving away Butterball turkeys too, or at least gift certificates to turkeys. No, we're not dropping them out of the sky. That would be really bad, especially for me to do. But I didn't maybe answer the question. So the question, I didn't give the answer. So the question is, because we were talking to David Fry, who broadcasts the National Dog Show presented by Purina on Thanksgiving Day. And I said, what group typically wins more national dog shows than any other group of dogs? So it's the herding group, sporting group, non-sporting group, toy group, The working group of, let's see, the I'm trying to think. Is that seven groups? But I named all the dog groups, and I said, which one? And it turns out the terriers have won the most often. And that's what Tony did get correct. And while I'm at it, let's give away another turkey. Another Butterball turkey. $25 gift certificate towards your Butterball turkey purchase. Could be purchased anywhere that Butterball turkeys are served. I like saying that, Butterball turkeys. And it can be used anytime. So if you already have your Christmas turkey, no problem. If you already have your Thanksgiving turkey, no problem. Our phone lines are filled already, and I didn't even ask the question. Here's the question. David Fry broadcasts the National Dog Show presented by Purina. Who is his partner in the canine broadcasting booth? First person to get that correct gets the turkey. I'll tell you, when you go into radio, I think it's obligatory that at some point in your career, you're going to be talking to someone like Karen Wilcher, a talk line expert with the Butterball Hotline. Hi, Karen. How are you?
And happy Thanksgiving to you.
Oh, well, happy Thanksgiving to you as well. So but I want to talk turkey with you, so to speak. You must hear that joke every day.
I love it.
But I don't believe you do. But before we do, okay. But before we do, how do you get a job at the Turkey Hotline? Do you apply for this job, I imagine? And what needs to be on your resume that you serve Thanksgiving every year?
Well, believe it or not, everyone who works here is a graduate of Butterball University.
What?
So we all go, oh, yeah, we don't have a football team, but we definitely have Butterball University. So we're all trained here. Many of us have backgrounds in home economics or chef backgrounds or dietitians. So we're all foodie, so to speak, but you absolutely have to go through the training here at Butterball University. We have been around for over 30 years, and actually some of the experts have been around as long as that. I think our oldest, most seasoned turkey expert has been here about 36 years. So they have heard all kinds of questions and know so much to share. So just whenever your readers or listeners are ready, call us at 1-800-BUTTERBALL or, butterball.com. We have all the answers for you.
All right. So I have all the questions for you, and I'll begin here. How long have you been doing this?
For me, I am in my ninth year here.
So what is the wackiest question that you've ever received?
Well, all questions are good questions.
Of course.
But one of the ones that stands out to me that made me chuckle, a couple years ago, a young lady called on Thanksgiving morning, and she had decided to take her turkey and put it on her deck to thaw it out. Not our recommended way, but she lived in a cold weather place. And in doing so, she ended up sharing that same turkey with a friend I wouldn't suggest, a raccoon. So a raccoon had nibbled on part of her turkey, and she wanted to know, gee, what should I do? Well, Thanksgiving is for sharing with friends and family, but you got to draw the line there.
So did she end up giving her turkey to the raccoon?
That was my advice. Just let it go. It's a gift.
I think that's really good advice. So our phone number, if you have turkey questions, or you could text 312-981-7200 in advance of me even asking. I have several different questions. One question is, can you put a turkey in a microwave? And I think what they mean by it isn't, does it fit into the microwave, which it may not. But the other question is, can you cook it in the microwave?
You know what? You can. However,
really?
And last year that was a internet challenge. All the young people were challenging their parents they would text their parents and ask their moms, hey, can you microwave a turkey? And actually you can. It's a smaller size turkey that you have to use, of course, so that it would actually fit into the microwave. And if you decide that is the route that you'd like to take, just give us a call at 1-800-BUTTERBALL and we will walk you through the steps needed to make that happen.
I have a personal question to ask you.
Shucks.
Have you ever tasted a turkey from the microwave? I want to know if it tastes the same as doing it the old-fashioned way.
Well, you know what? It definitely doesn't taste the same as, say, if you had an open roast protected turkey, but it is edible and it's doable because you never know. You know, people have all kinds of circumstances that they're faced with. That's some of the research that we've done. Let us know that Thanksgiving looks different all over the country. So there's all kinds of Thanksgiving, and there are people who don't even have an oven, so this is what they are challenged with. So yes, you can use it, and it doesn't taste bad. It's not my preferred method, but it definitely is something you can use.
What is the biggest misconception, do you think, people have about cooking turkeys? The mistake people make most often?
I think a couple things that give them a snag or cause to pause. A lot of times you don't give yourself enough time to properly thaw out the turkey. So then Thursday morning you're kind of frustrated and panicked that it doesn't seem to be as thawed as you'd like. So a secret that we have around here, the week before Thanksgiving, we call it Thawed Out Thursday. So if you have a turkey of any size, we suggest you just stick it in the refrigerator and that will thaw properly. But of course, you know, life gets in the way and you don't always have that. You haven't gotten a turkey or you forgot about it. So we have a water bath method that you can use, and that will get your turkey safely thawed out. Again, that's on our package. It's also on our website, which is butterball.com. And listen, we even have Alexa back this year to help us out. So if you have an Alexa-able device, you can just ask her some of the top questions that you may be curious about. But thawing is something that tends to hang people up. And then the cook time, because should I stuff or should I not stuff? And mainly it's because, sadly, people do not feel as though they cook turkeys often. But do not be afraid of them in any way. It's just a big bird. It's your friend, you know, and if you're on the talkie ledge, you call us up and we'll help you out.
All right, so don't be afraid of the turkey. I have some text questions that I want to run by you as well, and
sure,
much more. Yeah, 1114 on WGN, and we're talking turkey. Lots of questions we have for our butterball expert, a turkey hotline expert, a talk line expert. I believe that's your title, Karen Wilcher of Butterball. By the way, congratulations to Beatrice and Bartlett, who won a Butterball turkey, a certificate for one, but we have one more to give away. So don't move, because you can get a turkey. All right, are you ready? I've got lots of questions here for you. Karen?
Yes,
okay.
I'm ready. All right. I'm excited.
She's excited. All right, so has the Butterball, let's see, turkey talk I used to get, all right, do you think you've had every question that you possibly could be asked?
No, I'm sure there are so many of them out there. Like I said, you know, we're realizing there's a whole new generation of cooks that are taking the drumstick, so to speak. And
all right, that's not the question, Karen. This is the question. Is it okay if I thaw the turkey in a hot tub?
No, we would not suggest that you do that.
All right, another question.
That would not be our preferred method.
I had two Butterball turkeys, semi-thawed, just under 22 pounds. I placed them in the refrigerator, each separately, in turkey tins to thaw. They
okay.
are not completely thawed. Do you think they will be completely thawed by Thursday morning, or shall I do the water method? It sounds like water torture. I'm not sure that's good. Or just leave them out a couple of hours and then return them into the fridge. And it says, bless you for all of the work you do. I assume they mean you, Karen. So
I'll take that blessing,
yeah.
And I will tell them this. Like 22-pound bird in the refrigerator takes about five whole 24-hour periods to actually thaw. So I'm not sure when they actually put it in the refrigerator, but of course they can finish the thawing process off by sticking both those birds in a water bath method. And of course, all that you have to do is stopper your sink or use a cooler or a very large stock pot, and you just cover that with cool water and you'll get that thawed out. And then they can pop them back in the refrigerator and be ready to roll on Thursday morning. So never fear. We got you. Just again, just give us a call at 1-800-BUTTERBALL, or if you're a visual learner, we've got wonderful videos on our butterball.com website to show them exactly what to do. And but in no way are they in trouble. It's going to be a fabulous Thanksgiving, and we're here to help.
All right. Best way for cooking in the microwave is oxygen, says this texter. You take it out, but then you take it out and put it in that way, and you'll get a little bit of rounding and christening. I'm not sure exactly what they mean, but you probably do.
You know what? I have not had to give mouth-to-mouth or oxygen to the turkey that I've taken out of the microwave. The important thing is that you use a smaller size turkey because that's what you're going to need to actually fit it into microwave. Now, microwaves vary from size and capability. So it would my best advice to them would be to give us a call, and we can talk them through their individual challenge. But I've never had to give mouth-to-mouth to the turkey other than when I'm eating it at the dinner table. That's about it.
It says here I call every year, and no one has the answer to this. So I'm thinking, Karen, if anyone would know, you would know. So the question is, how long do I cook a 14-pound turkey on a rotisserie grill?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, on the again, we probably want to tailor it to the kind of grill that they have, and we could talk them through that. So again, just give us a call. It's going to be per pound, and the important thing also to remember is that it's all about the tea on Thanksgiving. You know, you want to make sure that you've timed it right. You want to make sure that you've cooked it to the appropriate temperature. And one way to do that, you don't want to guess. You want to use your thermometer. And you're going to take the temperature in a few different places, such as the breast area and the thigh area. So are you a breast or a thigh man?
Me? Yeah, I like the dark meat, I think, the best.
Okay. All right. Okay. So now if you, of course, and you probably realize that takes the longest to get cooked on Thanksgiving Day, so you have to be patient. Now, again, for those visual listeners out there, we have a video showing you exactly where the thigh is on the turkey, because believe it or not, we got a lot of people that don't know this. So, you know, we've learned that over the years, and we make sure that we help out any way that we can, and that's one of the ways that we help out is having the videos on our website. And speaking of that same website, you know, we've got all kind of fun new side dishes for those folks who are having, like my daughter who's attempting to be keto friendly. And so we've got some cool recipes on the website that help with that.
Well, that's a great question, actually. So explain what keto friendly is, first off. And secondly, that's an important topic to talk about because we have, the way we in which we eat food has changed over the decades, and what we look for has changed, right? So explain what keto is.
My understanding is, from learning from her, at least, is that, you know, you are attempting to limit the amount of carbs that you're intaking. And so I know for her, the way she follows it, few carbs as possible, a lot of protein sources. So, of course, turkey is great for that, as well as using a lot of vegetables and just that kind of thing. So, as you mentioned, you know, we have all these new folks getting in the kitchen and the new generations, and they're not like their grandparents who want to have the Thanksgiving dinner look the same year after year. They're interested in different ways to cook the turkey, such as putting it on a grill or deep frying it. You know, again, it looks so much different than it did two generations ago. We recognize that, and you know, we make sure that we have those kind of resources available to help people out so that they can try these things and the new methods. Hearing a lot of buzz about Instapot and air fryers, and we, if you want to try your turkey that way, we have instructions for that as well. So, and then we're also seeing new days to celebrate. You know, luckily for Thanksgiving, goes all across the month of November. You got folks like my college student who had her Friendsgiving last week. And then I have two nieces who make sure they hit both their mom's side of the family and then their dad's side of the family. So the Thanksgiving celebration is just looking different all across the country.
All right, let's quickly get to at least one phone call. Oh, no. I had her locked in. I don't know what I would do wrong here. I've lost Karen, but I've got a Karen. So I'm exchanging Karens. Karen, you're on WGN. You had a question for our expert, Karen, who's somehow gone away. But ask the question. I doubt I'll know, but give it a go.
Hi, yes. Well, this is just my first time cooking turkey, and I was just way overwhelmed. And I was just hoping a turkey expert could just guide me in the right direction.
My answer to that would be make reservations. But I bet we can do a better job with Karen from the Butterball Hotline. Karen, apparently we're having some phone issues, so I'm not quite so sure what that's about. But Karen will answer that question about a first timer, a rookie who's working at that. Karen?
Yes.
Okay, there you're back. The question
is,
thank you. I don't know what happened, but I know this. Karen on the other phone says she's never done this before with the turkey. In 2 minutes, what do we do for a rookie here?
Well, Karen, you got this, number one. And are you going to roast your turkey, or how are you actually going to prepare it? Are you thinking about putting it in the oven, or what's your thoughts?
I'm thinking about putting it in the oven because I have more experience with the oven than any of the other kitchen appliances. So that's where I'm leaning towards right now.
Okay, great. Well, listen, all you have to do, I'm not sure what size your turkey is, but let's say it's a 15-pound turkey. Your 15-pound turkey, you can get that roasted in an oven that is set to 325 in about 3 to 3.5 hours. And you're going to know that it's done because you're going to take the temperature in the breast area and the thigh area. Now, are you a visual learner by chance, or are you, because if so, and you sound like a pretty savvy young lady. And do you have internet access? Okay.
Do you have internet access?
Well, listen, you can use your phone or your tablet, and you can have that out, as well as if you have an Alexa-able device out on your counter. And it can be your helper friend during this process. It'll show you exactly what side to put upright in the roasting pan. It's going to show you how to place the thermometer to take the reading. So everything you need is on butterball.com. And if you're not sure about that, you call me back. I'll be here for the next several days, as will the rest of us.
All right. Karen Squared. Thank you. Thank you, Karen. And thank you, Karen.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thank you. Great advice. Our listeners loved it. Thank you, Karen.
All righty.
So according to this, and this really kind of worried me, 12% or more of items are available on Black Friday are actually less expensive at their current Amazon prices. So are Black Friday deals really deals? And what should we look for? It says right here in black and white that jewelry is the item that is purchased most often and what you can get the most deals on. But how do you do that online? How do you know that what you're getting is what you think you are getting? We have an expert to answer all of those questions right here on WGN. So don't move.
Money, money, money. Is that all you ever think about? Money.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about money and maybe how to save you some money on Black Friday. We'll do that in just one moment. We have one more turkey to give away. 312-981-7200. Don't call yet. I will ask a question, and then you can call in. And if you get the answer right, you have a $25 gift check toward your Butterball turkey purchase. No expiration, so you can do it like right now, or you can wait until Christmas or whenever you'd like. Any grocery store that sells Butterball turkeys will be here for you. I'm here for you. My name is Steve Dale, filling in, and it's always exciting for me to play fill-in host on WGN. As you probably know, I'm the guy who does the pet show. I've been doing that for 22 years, I believe, here on WGN. But as I say, playing radio is fun for me, and I'm having fun. I thank you so much for allowing me into your homes, into your cars, and I do want to save you some money. So from CNET, Bridget Carey is here. You're going to help me to help people to do that. I hope, Bridget, that's what I hear. You're an editor with CNET, and you know all about saving money on Black Friday. So welcome to the show, first of all.
Oh, thanks for having me. Oh, my gosh, is it a busy time for us because it's like gadget sale bonanza. And And we're trying to keep track of everything on sale right now on the site, from every aspect of technology. And we do have a lot of roundups right now because the deals keep changing. We've had Black Friday going on for weeks now, it feels like. And, you know, after Halloween, I started seeing Black Friday deals. So it's hard to keep track of everything as a consumer.
So it is. So let me hear your response to this. So there's a report that I'm reading from, and according to that report, you might save money on Black Friday, but 12%, and that's significant enough, of items from major retailers are actually going to be more expensive on Black Friday than their current pricing. Is that true? And if it is true, how can you decipher what's a bargain and what's not?
I think... Now, of course, it depends. Is that talking only about tech or other things, too? Because what you see is this big red highlight online, like original price, $200. You're saving 80%. And you go, well, gosh, you know. But maybe that hasn't been sold at that original price for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal really isn't 80% off. It's just an extra $5 off. I've seen this to be true with older items that are already a year old, items that you're not really familiar with, like cameras. Like, who really knows what the price of a DSLR is on the top of their head, you know? So you have to do this homework that you don't really have time to do when you're scrolling on your phone quickly to get that deal. There are a few tools that I like to recommend. A lot of us do the Amazon shopping because it's on our phones, it's quick, it's easy, and there's a tool with a funny name. It's called CamelCamelCamel.com. Just CamelCamelCamel.com. It's a site where...
Hang on. C-A-M-E-L?
Yeah, like the humped animal, but three times. And you... It tracks the history of what an item was going for on Amazon, so you could see, maybe yesterday, then, you know, it was, you know, going for $100 and today it's going for $90, you know, or, you know, is this really a good deal or does it always get cheaper? Maybe it's a television and it always gets cheaper later, you know, in January. So I think it's hard to maybe do that for everything you want to shop for. We don't have time to do a lot of homework. But maybe there's something that you know you really want. Like, I got to have a Nintendo Switch. A kid needs it.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on that site and get an email alert when the price drops on something, so you don't have to spend all day hovering over your phone. You could just kind of set it up so there's an alert that comes in for that one item you really want. Maybe it's a smartwatch. Maybe it's a certain brand of something. And so it'll give you an alert when it sees the price just dropped on Amazon.
So
that's also handy for when you miss Black Friday because you're actually with your family and you're not home shopping all the time, you know, because things go on sale again, you know. So that's a good tool for Amazon. There are other things that are off Amazon as well. It's called Honey. Another one is called Price Blink.
Well, I want to slow you down here. So excuse me, Bridget, but I'm still going back to the three hump camel. So it's camelcamelcamel.com. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. So you go there and you could set yourself up for alerts for whatever you might be purchasing, and you will get alerts to tell you when the price is best. How does that? I want to understand how this works.
Yeah, this is just for items on Amazon, and this service is like basically just watching Amazon to know when an item has changed its price. And you can get a chart, like a little graph chart that says, oh, it actually was cheaper 2 months ago, and maybe this is not the lowest price it's ever been. But I think when it comes to holiday shopping, we're just looking for a deal right now because we're not going to play games, you know, and overall, Black Friday is a great day when you're looking at the big grand scheme of things of how many things are on sale. And if you're wondering, gosh, is this really a deal, though? At least you can go in here and see if it's always been a little cheap and this is not that major of a deal. Because a lot of times we get hooked in that big red lettering, 90% off. Well, gosh, I have to have this deluxe electric nail clipper. And you're like, no, you don't. Maybe need that because it's not that big of a sale. It just happens to be flashed in front of you. And it always was cheaper than the sale price. So I have seen this happen with cameras. I have seen this happen with things that are a year old. We don't pay attention to what things cost.
Mm-hmm.
But at least if you're feeling like, a little hesitant, you can go there and kind of get some reassurance of if this is actually, you know, a rare sale or if it's all the time on sale. The big sale items are last year's models, so that's why this comes in handy to know, you know, what was the price, what was it going for already.
All right, and you're just about to launch into some more tools when I interrupted you, and I said, I need to understand exactly. So thank you for explaining that. I'll let you explain more of those tools in a moment. And I want to remind you, not for you, Bridget, but for everyone else, a Butterball Turkey gift certificate. I will give one away. I will do that, well, in just a couple of minutes, right here on WGN. On this Friday, day after Thanksgiving, I'll be on filling in again. So I'm happy to do that, but wait until you hear who one of my guests is going to be. Rocky Wirtz, the owner of the Chicago Blackhawks. I am so excited about that. I mean, I have been a Blackhawks fan ever since I was, like, that high. I'm still about that high, for those of you who know me. But, I mean, this is so exciting for me. I want to talk about the Blackhawks season, whether Mr. Wirtz is sincerely disappointed about this and what his feelings are moving forward for the team. He has a new book out. I want to talk about that. And he has a love of his life that goes beyond hockey, beagles. We're going to talk about his beagles as well. And that's all on Friday afternoon on WGN. Do you want your basement to be dry most of the time? If so, PermaSeal is not the company for you. PermaSeal hears story after story after story from homeowners to say that their basement only leaks when it rains. Well, you don't want your living room or bedroom getting wet, do you? Then why settle for a wet basement? Over 40 years, the PermaSeal team believes that your basement should be dry no matter how hard it rains. That's right. You can have a permanently dry basement. Permanently dry. Just give them a call. 1-800-421-SEAL. S-E-A-L. They have a offer. It's called free. A free estimate. No haggling. No pricing. And a price assurance guarantee. So you can rest assured that you're getting the best value. Roy Spencer started PermaSeal back in 1979. It's still local to Chicago. It's a family business doing the right thing and standing behind their work. Your basement is already dry most of the time, but if you want your basement dry all of the time, you know how to call PermaSeal at 1-800-421-SEAL, 1-800-421-SEAL, 1-800-421-7325, or permaseal.net. I'm here on WGN Radio wanting to save you money, but I'm not doing it alone. This is not my expertise, but it is CNET's Bridget Carey, here to talk about Black Friday, which, as you mentioned earlier, Bridget, might have started 3 weeks ago. I don't know. It's really, I mean,
it's Black Friday month.
It's just about right. So you were about to launch into some other tools to save us money and to know whether that product that we're looking really is what we're talking about, really is a bargain. But I have another question to go along with that. And that is whether you're getting what you think you're getting. There are some third-party sellers on Amazon who sell things, and it may be really cheap, too good to be true, perhaps, even. And you might not be getting what you think you're getting in the first place.
Yeah, we all are going so fast that maybe we're not taking the time to scroll up and see who is the seller, you know, because it might have the right picture. But you really kind of have to do a double take and make sure, all right, is the person selling it the company that makes it? or sometimes third parties are okay, but you just got to, like, really look at the reviews and make sure you're getting the real deal. I find the opposite can also be true. Sometimes things are way more expensive because it is a hot item and it's being sold by a third party, and really maybe you shouldn't be looking on Amazon for it. For example, there are some items, like toys, that are just exclusive to Walmart or exclusive to Target. And so some third person is going to grab it, sell it for twice as much on Amazon, and you're not realizing it, and you're thinking, oh, gosh, you know, it's $100 when really it's $50. So it's worth it to do a little Googling sometimes. If something seems a little off, that, well, there's only one available and it's extra expensive, or, you know, oh, it's really this cheap? You know, like if there's a red flag going off in your head, there's a reason. You're smart. You've done this before. You know, do a Google search. Just double check.
Well, yeah, of course, we've all made the mistake, though, that we're supposed to be smart. But then we see that price and we say, I'm going to jump at it. I'm going to go for that. Are the most popular items, according to some information I have in front of me for Black Friday, is jewelry. The question I have is, how can you gauge when we're talking jewelry, unless we're talking costume jewelry, how can you gauge what you're really getting by looking at a picture online? I mean, you could read about it. They have descriptions, but it's not like, for me, it's like actually seeing the piece of jewelry and holding it in your hands.
Yeah, I think it's that's one of the harder ones to buy online. Absolutely. I tend to look at the reviews very closely. I tend to only shop from big box retailers that I know, where I know I can return it in person if something's not right. And I think when we're trying to get those deals on Black Friday and going fast, you're better off going with a big retailer name where you know that they can, you know, be returnable if something's wrong, you know, because it is kind of hard. And sometimes you have to think like, okay, is this deal because it's on sale or is it just a free shipping deal? And should I think a big question people have too is, and I get this a lot, well, I want to buy this item that's a tech item or whatever. Is it better on Cyber Monday than Black Friday? Because you think Cyber Monday is tech, I guess, you know, because of the way it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line, the bigger discount is on Black Friday and that Thanksgiving Day, you know. That said, some items could still be on sale Cyber Monday. They just might be a little less, or the discount or the deal is a little different.
So, again,
If you miss it, you can get it something, but Black Friday is going to be the deeper discount.
So I'm interrupting just so we can make that, because I had no idea. So you get better deals for electronics, truly, on Black Friday than you do on Cyber Monday.
Sometimes there are different items on sale. It's not like the same items on sale twice all the time. But I think if you're someone who's going, oh, do I wait? If you see the item you want, you grab it. That's bottom line, because it might even be harder to get later when quantities are less. So, yeah, grab it early when you can. And if it's not there, well, maybe do another look on Monday. It's funny, the deals are better on Thursday and Friday, but more people spend more money on Monday. So like last year, Cyber Monday, people spent like $7.9 billion with B dollars in the U.S. It's like a record every year. It just keeps going up and up and up. And Black Friday was also a record spending, thing. It's just people spend more on Cyber Monday because I think they're playing catch up and going, oh no, I didn't get everything I wanted. Now that I'm at work, I have time to actually shop. Just be careful because you're at work.
Okay, interesting, because I had no idea. So thank you. I have something that I don't want you to shop for. I want to give it to you, but I'm going to make you work for it. Not you so much, Bridget, but everyone else. I have one more Butterball Turkey gift certificate to give away. A $25 gift check towards a Butterball Turkey purchase. No expiration. You could use this anytime. Any grocery store that sells Butterballs. Here's my question. There's an event we talked about earlier in the show at the Lincoln Park Zoo. And it's happening, and Bridget, if you know the answer, don't say it. It's happening right now, and it goes through early January through the beginning of next year. It's free. What is this event called? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right, so I have some questions for you, Bridget, from some texters. One wants to know about gift cards. So is there something special we should look for when purchasing or not purchasing gift cards? So if I want a gift card from a store, should I just go to that store and click on that gift card, or should I read the fine print first? I'm asking more than what this texter is asking, but I think it's such a good question, actually. And can you get gift card discounts, which is the question, on Black Friday?
I think a lot of deals you see are bundling a gift card with the purchase of something. I see that a lot in the flyers, so you have to kind of look through them to see who's giving what kind of gift card and when. You don't have to worry so much about, like, when you're giving the gift card in the store, you know, but this is, like, what kind of deal can you get? And I would say you see it bundled a lot with game systems and smart home devices, and every store is a little different. What the... One thing people don't realize also when it comes to gift cards is there's ways you can give a gift card without a physical card. You can email someone the gift card. Let's say it's the last minute, or you just don't want to leave the house. if you know that person's email address, there are services where you could just, you know, send them that credit, that gift card, and you know, set it to be delivered on December 25th. In particular, you see this is true a lot with Apple and Amazon itself, and also things like Netflix, you know, streaming services. That's really hot right now. People want to, you know, give the gift of entertainment, and you can gift someone a Netflix gift card credit for 3 months, or if they like music, Spotify is a service too. Mm-hmm. So these kinds of places offer 3 months, and you can just email them the gift. What I think is interesting about Amazon and Apple as well, if you want to give someone a specific CD album or a book, that also can be a digital download that is delivered on the day you choose. And that way you're like, okay, I know they want this book. I know they want this video game. That's true, too. GameStop, I should say. they have it so you can email someone a video game code to download. You don't have to actually go to the store anymore for gift cards. You could just give them, and it's better than a gift card when it's an actual album or a musician they like, or an app they like off of a game, you know, for if the kid's into the iPad and there's a game that you know they want, or a video game for their console. Everything now is digital. So you could just give that specific thing without having to go find it in a store.
So another question here. You mentioned honey.com. Someone wants to know what that is.
Okay, honey.com and Price Blink are two examples of services that give you price drop notifications. So if you're hunting for a certain type of headphone or smartwatch and you just want to get an alert when somewhere on the internet it has gone on sale, you sign up there, and it'll do that for you. That way it saves you time in this busy shopping season. Because it is hard to keep track of when something's on sale and when it's not, and if you want to get a deal. If you do miss Black Friday because of the chaos of it all, it's good to sign up for these kinds of price drops alerts, because things do go on sale again before Christmas. They do. Maybe not as much, but there's always a deal. And so these kinds of things help when time is ticking.
Another question, is it only a come on when you see online there are only 35 of that item left or 50 of that item left?
It's kind of real. I mean, it's how they get you in the door when you're actually waiting in line at the store, right? You know, it's only the few doorbusters. And online, it's really hard when it comes to televisions because you see them go so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you missed the thing you wanted, and now you're sitting there scrolling for 30 minutes through strange grilling accessories, and you're like, why do I even need this? So it is a hook that is unfortunate that there are only few items of the really big ticket items like and the really hot things like televisions that everyone wants. But I think the thing that gets people in the most and goes fastest are televisions. You're seeing a lot of 65-inch models on sale, and game systems. Game systems have some really good deals. Actually, right now, you don't have to wait until Friday. We have online right now a list of things that are on sale ahead of time. And if you want to save yourself trouble, you could just shop now. I see an Xbox One X bundle with a game that's $150 off the price. A PS4 Slim also on sale, and there's some Nintendo Switch bundles with games like Spyro game, and it knocks $40 off the price or $35 off the price. So, you know, if you rather savor, you know, your and be a smart shopper rather than like getting like the extra $5, you can just shop now even because it just the deals just keep coming.
Okay, you mentioned.
I think is good. I was going to say about game systems. Sorry, I just wanted to add in there.
Yeah.
People talk a lot about retro systems being really hot this year, and they remade the Sega Genesis. That was my game console growing up, It's called the Sega Genesis Mini. And right now, it's normally $80. It went down to $50.
Whoa!
I think that's going to be the hard to find item as we get closer to the holidays.
Okay, good tip. I've just got a break for news here. So you mentioned honey.com, and a bunch of people are asking, what was the other website you mentioned?
PriceBlink.
PriceBlink, BLINK.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
Perfect. You are terrific. So informative. We could keep going for hours, I think. Bridget Carey from CNET, thank you so much for the info.
No problem. Thanks.
Thank you. She is smart, that lady.